opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing, bloody murder, molesting, running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around, something else is going wrong. Yeah, tell me, what the hell is going on?
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
And this is Rick Redding, your host on the Rusty Satellite Show. I bring you every week some of the most interesting people in the Ville. And I did not disappoint this week. I have some really great guests. It is an art-inspired show, I guess you would say. My first guest, and I had to learn how to pronounce this, but you're going to be hearing a lot more in the near future. His name is Guillaume Dumière, and he is the guy in charge of everything over at the Speed Museum, which is having its great opening event on March 12th, just a few days away. Actually, on their website, there's a countdown clock, and as I'm reading this, it says 9 days and a certain number of hours and all that. But I really got to go over there and find out a lot that was going on and get to see everybody scrambling at the last minute to get everything set up. But it is going to be a spectacular place. Guillaume is making an effort to make sure that everyone feels welcome there. And they even have like free Sundays, so people that don't want to pay the $8 or $12 admission price can go over there and see the new space. And there's going to be concerts, and you know, it's just all sorts of stuff. I was really fascinated. Guillaume is the name is French, and he has been in the art, I guess, business, so to speak, for several years. He's done this sort of thing. He's doing at the Speed with museums in San Francisco and in, I believe it was it Omaha? I'm not sure. One of those. But anyway, he's a fascinating guest. You'll love it. You'll love his accent. You'll love all that stuff. And in the second part of the show, I'll just stay tuned because I have two fun, exciting, talented young ladies. Marianne Zicker was one of the first guests on this show, but it was so long ago we can hardly remember. She was doing something else, but now she is heading up the public relations and some of the activities over at the, what I say is a new station, Art FM. It is at 97.1 on your FM dial. It's a new station. It's not a commercial station. It's a nonprofit. And she is joined by Lauren Argo, who is a local actress and proprietor of La La Land, a place I'm going to have to check out, just to be honest with you. So anyway, that's what's coming up on the show. I'll get to that in just a moment. First, I want to tell you about our event last night. We were at the O'Shea's Irish Pub in the Highlands. And, well, I just had a sort of a malfunction here, but it looks like everything's still okay. At O'Shea's Irish Pub in the Highlands, we had the first ever Cocktails with Champions. It was a great event, and we sampled a lot of Ballantine chocolate whiskey cocktails, and it was really a great event. Danny Flanagan Trio played, and we had a bunch of people there. It was a lot of fun. The Ballantine was the sponsor of the event, and Ballantine is a sponsor of this show, and we're very glad to have them, and are going to be sampling some dates very soon on LouisvilleKY.com. You'll be able to see a list of different cocktails that you can make at home with Ballantine chocolate whiskey. You can pick it up at any liquor store. It's really great stuff. And it's a new product. You know, Paul Toole, the founder, it's only been on the market a few months, but it's really great stuff. If you like your whiskey a little sweet, a little different, exotic taste, that's the way to go. So anyway, let's get on with the show. I'm very excited to introduce you to Guillaume Dumière. I had fun learning how to pronounce that, number one, but Guillaume is a very fascinating individual. He's very busy these days. He found a few minutes for me this week on Tuesday as they're getting ready for the grand opening, and a lot of special events coming up in the next 2 weeks at the Speed as they open. And it's a $60 million project to transform the Speed from what it was, which is sort of a staid old museum thing, to this new thing, which has plenty of open spaces and wonderful ways to experience art at the Speed Museum. So let's get on with that. Here's my interview with Guilan Dumier.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Today I am at the Speed Museum, the wonderful brand spanking new Speed Museum with Guilan Dumier. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thanks for welcoming me to the Speed. I understand there's a lot of stuff going on around here.
Absolutely. I mean, as you know, it's been a long, technically 7 years we've been working on that, from thinking of a building a new building, moving the building or not, what do we need to do for the committee to be a 21st century museum, selecting an architect, and then raising the money, of course, and then building and construction and so on going on, rehiring all the staff you need to have for that, rethinking of the strategic plan, rethinking about the identity, rethinking of the soul of the building, taking an opportunity to be there for the whole community, to be meaningful, reorganizing the board of trustees and the board of governor.
That's— is that all?
Some of the few things we've been doing, yes.
Well, you know, I know a $60 million project, there's been a lot about it in the news, and well, tell me...
Only privately funded, by the way.
Okay. That's good. Well, let me ask about one thing, because just most recently in the news, I saw that it's going to be free on Sundays, yes, thanks to a gift. Tell me about that.
From Bronfman. Yes, Bronfman was very kind, because it's something important to me that the news feed is going to be a hub of creativity. It's going to be a place for every generation. It's going to be a place where we're going to bring art from around the world. But more important for me, I need to be a place where everybody could go. And of course, a ticket to enter the museum is $12, and a special exhibition is $8. And I didn't want money to be an issue. So I was looking for the last 2 years for donors who will help me to make one day a week free, but specifically Sunday. Sunday is a family day. Sunday is the day where family could get together and so on. Okay. And for us, it's a little bit of a drawback, because Sunday is the day we make money. But for me, it was more important than money. It was about giving the right signal to the whole community. And I'm not just talking Louisville. I'm talking the Commonwealth of Kentucky and Indiana, southern Indiana. Is to be a place where everybody could come, even if they don't have the income. And so it's $200,000 more or less a year to have a day free per week. And I was very lucky to find a private donor first in Florida, who gave me the money for the first year. But then, in the meantime, one of our trustees, who is Brooke Braun Barzun, who is the wife of the U.S. ambassador to the Court of St. James in London, really got liked the idea and saw how important it was. And so she convinced Bronfman to give a $1 million gift in honor of her late father. And Mr. Braun II was the one who really steered the whole capital campaign 7 years ago, and was behind, but as you maybe remember, passed away 3 years ago abruptly. So this whole gift, for me, it's extremely important, because now anybody in a community could come to the museum at least one day a week, specifically on Sunday, for free.
Well, that sounds great, and it is an important
it's
thing.
More than great. It's really powerful.
It's really powerful. All right, well, let me ask you about this whole 30-hour thing that I understand is your idea, to that coming up on March 12th, we're going to have a long time of being open, right? So I can come at 3 o'clock in the morning and still find something to do.
And I need to backtrack a little bit on that. We did that same thing 10 years ago in San Francisco, where I was the assistant director at the De Young Museum, the Museum of Fine Art, and we built, you know, a huge building, and we decided to do 36 hours around the clock, and we had 52,000 people. Wow. And I always kept that, and I was up for 42 hours, so I was, it was really fascinating. And so 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we say it would be great to celebrate first with the gala, then we have a week where we have event for different part of the community, like I've got a day for the member, I've got a day for the public fighter, the firefighter and the policeman, and the, we have a day for education and so on. And then it goes up to the following weekend, the 12th and 13th. We're cutting the ribbon at 10 a.m. on the 12th with the governor and the congressman. And then we are open for 30 hours around the clock. But to really become what I was telling you, that hub of creativity for everybody in the community, we really wanted to have every way of doing, not doing art, but every expression or cultural expression or creative expression of activities to be represented during these 30 hours. And if you see, and you go on the website, it goes from, of course, music and theater and dance and art making to yoga with Ben Sole, celebration of the day with all the religion, Buddhist monk doing a mandala, the zoo even is here. I mean, everybody will be. I mean, there's more. I don't know how many we should count, how many institution, organization. Even, I mean, at the middle of the night, we're going to have a video game competition. Microsoft is giving us the latest technology of a console for Microsoft for video game competition. So with that, and I don't know, I'm expecting 20,000 or maybe more, who knows? I have no idea. But it will make a clear message to the community that we are here for everybody. We're here for free when we could. But we're here with also a very diverse ideas of program, or very exciting type of program, not just the usual museum people could expect to. Right. And there's nothing better than to do that with that 30-hour celebration.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like a lot of different activities. The video game thing, it sounds pretty fascinating, so I'm looking forward to all that.
I have to confess, I never play video games. So.
Yeah, I don't either.
Try, but
I've got a son who may come down and do that. Before we move on more about the speed, I want to ask a little bit about you and how you came to be here. I know you've been to a couple of museums in the state, but your real heritage, I understand you were born in France?
I'm born in Belgium.
Belgium.
But so my French on my father, Austrian on my mother's side, but I was educated in Europe, yes. And then for 15 years, I worked in auction. I worked for Sotheby's for 7 years and Christie's for 8 years, really around the world, Europe, America, and South America. And I was a specialist in antiques, and I was dealing with antiques and finding and whatever. So I did that. Then I took a sabbatical for a year and a half. I moved to Guatemala. I worked with non-for-profit helping street kids getting out of the street. And then I created my own foundation, which I still have, and I still go on a regular basis. And then I came back, and I wanted to do education. The only thing I know is art and history. Art and history and education, it's museum. And so I started in San Francisco at the De Young, as I was mentioning. Then I was hired in Oklahoma by the president of the university, David Boren, who wanted to build a new building. So I did that and also created many new programs. And then I was hired here because my predecessor left in the middle of the project to take a great job. And therefore, the trustee needed someone with building experience, fundraising experience, and education and program experience. And okay. I love that. So I moved
here. Yeah, it seems like you have to have a diverse amount of skills to put all this together. I mean, the buck stops right here, right?
And well, the hat closet is pretty full. Yes. But anyway, but it's fun, and that's what I like in my job, is because there's not a single day which is the same. There's not a dull moment. And dealing from community, education, trustees, creative people, artists, marketing, develop, I mean, whatever. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
It's
cool. Really cool. Well, you have had the opportunity to jump into this project. Like I say, you weren't here when it started. You jumped in the middle. People that remember the old speed and what was here, I mean, where do you start to tell them about how different it is?
Oh, boy. Okay, well, several things. There were kind of five ideas when the project started before my time with the trustee. We wanted a space transparent, inviting. So now it's pretty much glass everywhere. Mm-hmm. They wanted a space where we could promote contemporary art. Now we have 10,000 square feet just for contemporary art. They wanted a space where we had special exhibitions. That means exhibitions we bring in from around the world, which is at the top-notch level. Now we could collaborate with the Louvre or the British Museum or even the Metropolitan.
Okay.
They wanted also a space for Kentucky because we are de facto the only institution of Kentucky. We're going to have 5,600 square feet specifically for Kentucky. Wow. They wanted a state-of-the-art movie theater because there is no good program of movie theater. The closest one, I think, is Chicago. So we're going to have 142 seats. You could see 16 miniatures, 35, and digital. And we're going to bring with that a complete diverse audience, which you never come to museum. And they also wanted a space where you could entertain instead of moving the art to do a reception, a wedding, and so on. Now we have a full floor where we could do weddings and symposium, panel discussion, bar mitzvah, whatever you want. We could do it here. So that's was what was decided. And then coming in, as I was saying, you need to give a soul. And that soul is really based on all of us. It's not the public who need to change. We, that's mean the staff and the trustee and the institution, we need to change to really be adaptable to the community, to be meaningful for them. So we changed internally. We did diversification of the board at every level. We really recreated a complete culture for the staff to be completely turned toward the public. We've been rethinking of that idea of the museum is not just a museum, it's a hub of creativity. We've been really pushing on that dialogue between generations, and you will see everything from the app to the visit and so on. It's about you having a visual connection because I want you to have a dialogue with your son and your grandson, if you were to have one, and so on. And then also, one of the aspects which connect to the first one, we need to bring art from around the world because 35% of the community will never travel anywhere because they don't have the money. We need to be able to bring them art from around the world to prepare the next generation for a global war. So all of that is really new. And if you go really more practically about art specifically, 40%, 40, will be new to the public between work of art was given to us while we're closed, work of art we acquired because we continue acquiring art, site-specific commission and so on, and then many work of art which were in storage for decades and never been shown. All of my new curators and curators came and looked through every piece of the collection, discovering some treasure which never been seen, had them conserved, restored. So 40% of the collection is new, and that is unique. It's huge.
So I guess the limitations of size of the previous version kept a lot of stuff in storage.
Yes.
Right? And so now a lot of that is
Yes, but it's never big enough. There's no museum big enough to exhibit everything. That any museum will say, I mean, I wish it could be even double what we just built.
But, do you and now are you actively when the museum acquires something new? I mean that's you, right? You go out and find it, or
It's a teamwork, and there's regulation for that, which is always better. The director cannot make a decision on acquiring because that will be risking the unicity of the collection, but also the quality and so on, because you cannot be knowledgeable in every field. My field is 18th century furniture, decorative art, and jewelry. But so that reason we have curator. We have five of them. Each of them have a field. And we have also what we call a collection committee. So whenever a curator wants to buy something, they have to do a formal proposal in front of the committee. The committee is composed of trustees and governors, and they all have knowledge of art. And the curator have to explain why the piece is important, where does it fit into the collection, where does it fit into the plan, because in the strategic plan we have a collection plan, we have a decision of what we're going to acquire or what type of thing. And if the committee disagrees, the curator cannot buy the thing, and therefore I cannot sign the check.
So
well, it's a team, it's not complicated, it's definitely a collective group to make sure we're buying the best for the institution.
As a person of art, I got one last personal question for
you. Okay.
At your house, where do you live? I mean, how do you decide what to put on the wall?
Well, that's completely different. It's my own taste.
Okay.
So I collect mid-century furniture, I collect contemporary art and photography, and also contemporary glass. And I work for auction, remember, I refuse to collect for investment. Mm-hmm. I collect things I like to live with and I want to live with.
Okay, so have like white walls like in this room.
Just moved a week ago. Forgive me, I've got that in a folder there, so there will be art everywhere. My house is pretty packed.
Pretty packed. Yeah. Okay, well, I got to wrap it up here on the Rusty Satellite Show. But Gilan, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Look forward to the festivities coming up.
Well, thank you, and I hope to come interviewing people during the 30 hours. That will be fun.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
you to Guillaume Dumière for talking with me and appearing on the show. He is a very busy man these days, but found time for the Rusty Satellite Show. I really appreciate it. I walked around the place a little bit, and it is a spectacular space. I urge you to go. They've got like 30 hours of time. You can consecutive hours. You can go next weekend, at least starting March 12th. So awesome addition to our city. I think a lot of things are going to go on there. I want to tell you just for a second about my friends at the Eye Care Institute. The Eye Care Institute is down on Story Avenue. You can call them at 589-1500. That's 502-589-1500. If you need to get that annual exam done, but also if you're curious about LASIK, like I was, I've gone through some of the counseling sessions over there about LASIK, and I'm learning. I'm going to find out at no cost if I'm a candidate and what the pluses and minuses are. They've got some real professionals over there. Great doctors have done a lot of LASIK, and probably they've got I guess ways to finance it and pricing that you'll want to hear about. That's at the Eye Care Institute on Story Avenue. It's 502-589-1500. And thanks to Mark Prussian and the Eye Care Institute for sponsoring this show. All right, next up on the show, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the news that's come to my attention. You know, it's all about politics this time of year. We had Super Tuesday this week on the national scene, and of course we had an appearance by Donald Trump. I'm going to talk about that for just a second, but first, Governor Matt Bevin, for some reason, had an opportunity to speak at this big show in town, this big helicopter convention, and I've talked to some people about the helicopter convention, and it's really a coup that it came to Louisville. It is often held in Orlando or Las Vegas. I think next year it's going to Dallas. And so they had had this big helicopter show of 15,000 people, I think, are in town for it. And Governor Bevin made a speech to those people. And I am not sure what I caught, but I caught some of the excerpts or reaction to the speech. And you know, one thing, he was interviewed about this whole Planned Parenthood thing. And he had the nerve to say that the shutting down of the Planned Parenthood thing was not political at all. Right. It's only the key issue for many Republicans is abortion and attacking Planned Parenthood. It's tragic, all the things that you have to go through, that young women have to go through to protect their bodies and all that. If you know, I understand if you're against abortion. I say don't have one if you're against abortion. But these old white guy politicians seem to make it their priority to attack, make it more difficult for women to get the care they need and the reproductive care, et cetera. We had Mary Lou Marzian on this show a few weeks ago, and she basically gave the side, and you know, gave the position of a lot of women, I guess. So moving on from that, since we're talking politics, Donald Trump was in town the other day. He came to Louisville, made a speech, and you know, it was just like all his speeches. I guess there were people that got thrown out for protesting. He screamed and hollered and did his whole spiel with all the things that, you know. There was a piece on John Oliver's show the last week that you just. Well, I, if you're a Trump supporter, don't watch it. If you're a Trump supporter, you're probably not listening to this show. But John Oliver on his Last Week Tonight show on HBO just eviscerated Trump for all the things he's done over the years in terms of hypocrisy, in terms of bigotry and racism and all the things. It's just like every day. And it's like everything he does makes him more popular, even though. Like no one else could get away with saying some of the stuff he does. So anyway, he was in Louisville and you know, it was a big deal. He made the speech and he's won most of the Super Tuesday primaries. It looks like the Republicans, even though there's a major effort being made in the Republican Party to stop him, it doesn't look like it's possible. It looks like it's going to be your choice in the fall. It's going to be between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, who is going to win the nomination on the Democratic side. So anyway, it was exciting to have all those people in town. you know, at this Trump rally where, you know, and I heard the quotes, the whole thing about the wall, you know, he's going to get, you know, it makes no sense. But he goes to all his stump speech. He goes and he talks about the Mexicans as if they're some enemy and that he's going to get this wall built and that they're going to pay for it. And he gets the people chanting about it and all that. And so anyway, so that's what. That's about all I can stand to talk about politics. A lot of good stuff going on here in Louisville, KY, my hometown. I'm very excited. Friday I'm going to go to the premiere of a play at the Humana Festival at Actors Theater. That is a very exciting event that's going on. National acclaim to the city of Louisville, positive national acclaim to the city in terms of the plays in the Humana Fest. It goes on through most of March, I guess. Not positive national acclaim to Louisville. Let's talk about the University of Louisville and James Ramsey. The Board of Trustees has basically had enough of Ramsey's shenanigans with money. You know, he's deceptive. You know, I think that's the problem. He doesn't feel like he has to communicate things to the board. And so I did read this piece that was written by Emily Bingham, a member of the board, who basically said, we have no confidence in Ramsey. It's just a matter of time. It's almost like he's playing it out as long as he can to collect as much salary as he can before the forces in play remove him from office. I mean, this is going to happen. It's just a question of when. And at the Board of Trustees meeting, widely reported in local media that Ramsey was a significant portion of the board. Several members of the board want Ramsey out and are pushing for a no confidence vote, that which may come at the next Board of Trustees meeting. You know, and we don't need to go through all the questionable things that have the Board of Trustees upset, but including the scandals in the athletic department and the in Bingham's letter addressed, you know, the sex scandal with the University of Louisville basketball team. And you know, that's a shame, because here we are coming up on the end of the season tournaments. Louisville has its last game, no matter what, on Saturday with Virginia. They lost a game. They're not going to win the ACC regular season. They had a nice way of honoring these seniors, Trey Lewis and Damian Lee, at the Yum Center the other night. But that's going to be it, and there's going to be a little bit of a void in town, because there's not going to be tournament basketball. Although the NCAA tournament has a regional, I believe it's a regional here in a couple of weeks, so it will be very exciting. Especially, there's a possibility that the Kentucky Wildcats will come here, although they're not playing that great either. They'd have to win several games to get to Louisville if that happens in the NCAA. So we'll be keeping our eye on that, and maybe just as we look ahead to things, think about the Derby. You know, that's gonna be the thing we're all looking forward to. Nice weather, Kentucky Derby. And all that. And one last thing I want to mention on next week, a big event. We have the Breakfast of Champions. Every 2 months, I, along with several other folks, host a breakfast at the University Club on campus. And this time we have a great speaker. It's Robbie Valentine, who does a lot of work with youth in our city. And he is he takes care of folks at the Yum Center. You know, all I see with Robbie is pictures of him with, like, Bruce Springsteen and all these great artists that come to the Yum Center. So what a great job he has. I'm anxious to hear what he has to say about that and as he addresses some of the issues with the youth in our community. So that's Robbie Valentine. You can sign up for it on Facebook. It's next Tuesday, the 8th, at the University Club. It's $20 for a great buffet breakfast, a hot buffet breakfast. They take care of us over there at the University Club. It's a great place. So, well, let's get on with the rest of the show. I want to talk about, I mentioned a little bit earlier, Mary Ann Zicker. She was on like show number 4 of the Rusty Satellite Show talking about preservation. She's got a great tie to Preservation Louisville. And she is also really a go-getter. She does this show, Mary Ann in the Morning. It's on 97.1 FM. And I learned, I did not know this, but Art FM has been streaming online 24/7 programming for like 3 years. And shame on me for not being aware of that. But now that they've got a FM location, they're on the dial, it's getting a lot more attention. The station is getting a lot more attention. They've got a lot of diverse artists, people like Lauren Argo, who you're going to meet on the show, that I think is really it's really cool. So I really enjoyed going over the studios. They're on Breckenridge Street. I don't know if you know where that is, but it's it's in the 500 block of West Breckenridge. Not the greatest part of town, but a part of town where they got a nice building, a beautiful beautiful studios. And I think you're going to hear a lot more about this unconventional radio station, this nonprofit that is a great place to go to hear some, as Lauren said, some really weird stuff. Really, really weird. All right, so it's the place for weird over there at Art FM. And here's my interview with Marianne and Lauren.
No matter how young and healthy you are, life can be full of unpleasant surprises. And without health insurance, even a short hospital stay could set you back thousands of dollars. If you qualify for expanded Medicaid, you can get coverage through Passport Health Plan. Find out if you qualify. Call 855-459-6328 or go online at kynect.ky.gov. Choose Passport, the plan that takes the time to care.
And I am today with the Rusty Satellite Show at a new radio station that's not really new, right? Marianne Zicker, welcome to the show.
Why, thank you, Rusty. I always love being on the Rusty Satellite Show.
Well, how is this, you know, a lot of people are just discovering 97.1 FM because it didn't exist before, but you've been the Art FM radio brand, I guess, has existed for 3 years.
Absolutely. We've actually been 24/7, 365 with our internet broadcast at artxfm.com for just about 3 years. And a few years past that, our general manager, Sharon Scott, who was the kind of brain thrust for Art FM, had been working on getting us towards becoming an FM station. So it's been a long time coming, like say about 5 years, that we've been working very hard to become an FM station. And this all came about, you may not know this, but President Obama actually enacted something to where each major market could have a certain amount of low-powered bandwidth radio stations. Okay. It was a community radio partnership that was started. And the FCC and President Obama put this act through, and therefore, here in Louisville, there were six different frequencies that were available. Okay. And Art FM worked through a very rigorous process in order to apply through the FCC. It literally took a couple years and a lot of engineering reports, a lot of very hard work, a lot of technical jargon I will not put you through. Okay. But we built over 100 volunteer DJs. We have an educational mission. And as a 501c3, we were granted by the FCC a permit to have the call letters WXOX. So we say it's all love, hugs, and kisses here at Art FM. And February 14th was the day that we launched officially on the FM dial. And Mayor Greg Fisher deemed that Art FM Day here in Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay, cool. Well, that was a great day. So there were six of them. You got one. How do I get one? I think I'll put the Rusty Satellite Show Network on.
I think you should get a LP radio station too, Mr. Rick. I think you should. And you just get through that, you know, almost cover 100 page.
I don't think I could handle the mental strain to do all that. But yeah, well, it's good to know President Obama was involved. I guess. You know, I guess when Donald Trump's president, that's all going to go away. You guys are going to get
Or maybe
eliminated.
We'll all get gold microphones.
There you go.
It's possible.
It's possible. So, well, tell me a little bit about the programming here, because I've just turned it on and have been listening in the last week or so, and just a lot of crazy stuff. Well, I mean,
I might even
get to hear Delbert McClinton on this station sometime.
You really never know what you're going to hear. You can hear anything from me talking about weather and traffic to one of our other DJs, Miss Fuchsia Fox, who does a show called Audio Art 101. She literally fuses things like whale song with street noise. And the next thing you know, you have art. So we have a lot of diverse DJs, and we have hip-hop shows. We have Spanish language shows. We have a show done by the Asia Crane Institute. So we really are trying to be as diverse as possible because our mission is to amplify the voice of the arts. So the arts can be many things to many people. And we are trying to be open and really give a platform for artists to bring their voice to the airwaves.
Okay. Well, we happen to have one of your outstanding DJs right here in the room next to us, don't
we? She's created a whole land into herself. Miss Lauren Argo does La La Land on our radio station every Wednesday from 4 to 6. And it is a magical land. And it really comes all out of her head. So you should... tell them more about La La Land.
Tell me what happens when I go to La La Land.
Well, interesting things happen. You don't know who you're going to meet. Okay. Today, the kind of image that I was working up for the show is a sock monkey relaxing and just there to get you through the weird Wednesdays. But you might encounter puppets. You might encounter definitely a lot of live community members. So I do have a guest-driven show. And basically, I'm looking for, similar to you, the weird and unusual. I like to talk about arts, theater, that could be culturally, anything from interviewing a ballet dancer to an opera singer to maybe you would hear a live segment of from a play, or today we're going to have singers on from the musical 1776. So you just never know in terms of guest. And then there is also a kind of quirky sort of segment driven comedy focus that I have. So my show is really to celebrate the weird, unusual, and nonsensical world that exists within my brain.
And it's, well, that seems like a weird world. It's 4 to 6 every day?
It's 4 to 6 on Wednesdays.
Oh, just on Wednesdays,
yep,
once
just
a week.
On Wednesdays. So that's kind of a basic layout for a lot of programming. You'll have a lot of shows that are either 2 hours, a few shows that are an hour that are sort of weekly reoccurring shows.
Okay.
So, yeah, that's sort of our specialty show sort of layout.
It's very cool. Well, you have this whole other life. I've seen you before, as we just discussed.
Yes.
As that mean bitch in
She's awful.
Kylie Parker's film was called...
Yes, Kylie Parker's film, The Baby Shower.
The Baby Shower.
We premiered that at the Idea Film Festival, and the Idea Fest Film Festival, which was a great event.
I remember.
And she recently has gotten some large distribution for her documentary film, Raising Miss President. So a great filmmaker, and that is a exact kind of person that, you know, I like to sort of delve into the mind of that process of how do you make a short film locally, and what does that take, and lots of people involved. So I do a lot of local acting. I'm currently in a show with Pandora Productions called The Children's Hour, a 1930s, famous 1960s film and a 30s play. So I really like to do screen work, stage work. That's definitely changed over the last, you know, 10 years or so for actors.
Well, very interesting. Well, and you came in here on a Wednesday morning.
It
was a lot of work, I know.
Marianne is like warmed up. She's been on the road now. She was up at 6 a.m. doing the vibrato sort of warm-ups.
I know. I was listening on the way in. And
she sounds great in the morning.
I got to get more energetic. So here we go. Well, Marianne, let's go back to you and ask you. You know, I got a lot of, you know, people in, I guess, the business world that are wondering about a project like this. Seems to, you know, there's no commercials on the station. How does that work with I mean, you're a nonprofit.
We are a 501c3, and with the low powered FM community broadcasting stations, we are nonprofits so that we can amplify the voice of our community very specifically. So we do have an educational mission. We do not sell commercials. What we do have are memberships and partners, sponsors.
Okay.
People and also entities, nonprofits, other nonprofits in our community that want to support our radio revolution. So it's been great. We have a very good set of founding partners. And we are going to be working very hard now, moving forward, now that we're on the FM, to really start engaging more sponsors, more local partners, because we do want this to be the voice of Louisville. And even though we're broadcast all over the world through our internet stream, we still want this to be very local love. So.
Okay. I have that T-shirt. I don't know if you know this, but there's a company in town that does they call themselves the Voice of Louisville. I got a T-shirt that says I am the Voice of Louisville.
Nice.
I can loan that to you if you want.
But you can,
yeah, it's really.
I do feel that.
Really
I
cool.
need that. I've been told I'm sounding perky.
The Voice of Louisville. I'll be the Weird of Louisville.
There we go.
Yeah. Be weird now is La La. That's a good La La Land.
Well, weird is a kind of weird thing to strive for. How do you get there? What do you got to do? How weird do you have to be?
Well, I think if you just exist in your own sort of essence of weird, if you just kind
it's
of...
It's
natural for me. And I, you know, there's... In terms of packaging it and bringing it out, the way I've found to easily do it is through La La Land. But, you know, there's a lot of opportunities around town to celebrate weird. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a Louisville... That's a... Louisville is prideful about
Louisville weird.
Their okay. weird entities. So I think it's just a state of being. I mean, in La La Land, what I like to encourage guests is that they get to, like, you know, be a little different or talk about something that interests them that maybe isn't run of the mill.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised the interest that people have that you might not know about.
And that's the essence of the station, really, is we don't want to be the same old thing. If we were doing the same thing, why would we be doing it? So we do want to offer something different to not only the Louisville community, but, you know, worldwide. And people want to know what's going on in La La Land. And it's been a very fun experience allowing these DJs, these over 100 volunteers, you know, who are all artists in and of themselves,
uh-huh.
you know, to really come here and create these different lands. I'm telling you, La La Land's a good one.
And I would encourage people, too, to realize the programming is so diverse. You may hear some songs or shows that aren't your cup of tea, and there are so many that will fit to your kind of interest.
Right.
So it is a station that you definitely, you know, will find it varies so much from theme to DJ to what they're playing.
Okay, and 97.1 on the dial, so people just stumble across it. Let me ask you this, Marianne. Between being an online streaming operation to being an on-the-air FM station, what's the biggest difference or any surprises in terms of how you've been received or new people that listen to you that never heard of you before?
Absolutely. I think a few of us who had some experience on the FM dial previously kind of knew the power of the dial. It really is one of the very first communication mediums in this country, and it's just the king, in my personal opinion. And we knew that internet broadcasting was taking us far and wide, and we loved that. We are still very dedicated to our stream and our broadcast that way. But we knew as soon as we flipped that switch, we were going to have a whole new level of local love. And Louisville loves Louisville. Let's be for real. Louisvillians love Louisville. And so we knew we would get this swell of love, and hence our call letters, XOX, hence the great people that are on the station. You know, like Lala said, you may not have your cup of tea at one point in the day, but there's a different show on almost every couple hours, every single day, 7 days a week. So I'm technically the only one that has a daily show.
Okay.
So going on the FM, there have been some changes that, you know, I want to highlight that if you are a talk radio person, you're used to getting up in the morning and maybe, you know, that other NPR station might be what you listen to. Because you want to know things like what's going on in your community, what's the weather doing, what's the traffic like. You know, we're still going to provide those things. That's the show format that I actually changed to. So, you know, we do have the daily morning show at 7 a.m., Marianne in the Morning. So if you need that information to get you going, we have that. Then you can also take a trip to La La Land and anything in between.
Just on Wednesdays.
Just
I have to go
Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays.
And what I wanted to say, too, with music-wise, you know, we've got definitely across the board, we also have a wonderful local music organizer, Brian mm-hmm. Manley,
okay.
who provides weekly new releases here for us in the studio to play and listen to.
Okay.
So it is also a way to amplify the sound of actual musicians and music being made in Louisville. And we have a few Louisville music-centric shows that are only playing that music.
Ah.
So I just, you know, just to remind you that there is that also connection. And then in terms of wide world viewers, you can look at our map here at the studio and see all of the smaller communities out in the world that we've already been broadcasting to.
Very good. Well, unfortunately, Rusty Satellite Show only has like 12-minute segments, so we're done. But Laura and Marianne, thank you so much for being on the Rusty Satellite Show. And you know, we'll be listening.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Thanks for all that weirdness from Lauren and Marianne over at Art FM. I did slip in that reference to Delbert McClinton. I did go last weekend to see 75-year-old Delbert McClinton put on a rock and roll show in Frankfurt at the Grand Theater. It was a blast. Although I will say, Delbert slowed down a bit. Can you imagine 75 years old and still touring and doing rock and roll? And Delbert, he's just really amazing. The crowd there in Frankfurt, it's a beautiful building. And the Grand Theater, it's sort of like the Palace, except not as cool. And about 500 seats, I think somebody told me. But the crowd, I think a lot of people in the crowd were as old as Delbert. But Paula liked it, and we certainly heard some great music. As Delbert does a lot of the same things that when I saw him first in 1983, he's doing a lot of the same things. It's amazing. He's making a nice living and doing what he loves, which is what we all should do. We should all do what we love, and that's what I'm doing here with the Rusty Satellite Show. I love doing this show. I love meeting interesting people all around town in all different areas of commerce, and also working on doing some other types of podcasts, and coming up very soon, you're gonna hear me talking about a podcast that we're doing with the Jeffersontown Chamber. It's a very exciting project, and it's going to be a lot like the Rusty Satellite Show, but focused on the city of Jeffersontown, where I live, and it's very exciting. So our first guests are going to be from the Third Turn Brewery out there, and I did an interview with those guys recently. It was a lot of fun. So anyway, a lot of stuff to look forward to, including Breakfast of Champions next Tuesday. I'll look forward to seeing you there with Robbie Valentine. That's going to do it for this show. I'd like to thank my producer, Dan Vonderhyde, and all the people that helped me, Jason Smith, Bill Breimer, Jackie Bentley, for making Rusty Satellite Show and LouisvilleKY.com, the pulse of the city, the great media projects that they are. Thanks again. I'll be back next week with another episode of the Rusty Satellite Show.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, at Ricky Redding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.